There is a quiet tension in trying to honor tradition while also moving forward. It's an ongoing challenge. It's been faced for generations. Change, it turns out, has a pretty good memory. And as they say, history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. Folklore is rooted in repetition, in inheritance. But artists live in the present, and the best of them don't only preserve tradition, they reshape it. They carry it forward by making it personal. What was once collective becomes intimate, and in that intimacy, it becomes collective again. This is the dance between what we remember and what we imagine, between roots and wings, between the voices of our ancestors and the sound of our own breath. Natalia Lafourcade lives in the space in between. She's made a career, an art, out of standing at the crossroads, listening deeply, and then singing back what she hears. Welcome to The Third Story. I'm Leo Sidran. Natalia Lafourcade first appeared on the scene in the early 2000s as a kind of alt-pop prodigy. Her self-titled debut album, released when she was just 18, was full of quirky confidence, part Fiona Apple, part Julieta Venegas, with flashes of Bjork's wild inventiveness. Songs like En el 2000 became generational anthems in Mexico, signaling a new kind of voice, youthful, rebellious, and curious. Her early records leaned into pop and rock, layered with electronic textures and rhythmic experimentation. She won her first Latin Grammy in 2005 for Casa, recorded with her band La Forquetina.
Voy a proteger mi casa. Cuando estoy ahí siento tranquilidad. Y después pondré unas flores en la mesa.
Over time, her work shifted, growing more introspective, more rooted. Beginning with Hasta la Raíz in 2015, Natalia began what now feels like a kind of homecoming, a return both to acoustic instruments and to cultural memory, to the music of Veracruz, where she's from in Mexico, to the Son Jarocho tradition, and to a sense of music as a living legacy. Her acclaimed albums, Musas, Volumes 1 and 2, and Un Canto por México, Volumes 1 and 2, celebrate the poetry, instrumentation, and spirit of traditional Latin American and Mexican folk music. These projects are not just tributes, they're acts of preservation and transformation, blending reverence for heritage with her own distinctive voice.
De todas las flores que sembramos.
If those albums looked outward, toward community, tradition, lineage, then De todas las flores looked inward.
Solo quedan unas encendidas.
It was released in 2022, and it was her first album of entirely original material in 7 years.
Cada mañana se preguntan,
and it marked a turn toward the interior.
¿Cuándo llegarás para cantarles?
Grief, longing, and rebirth.
De todas las lunas que miramos, solo quedan algunas memorias. Cuando nos reímos, cuando nos tuvimos, en las calles de Madrid borrachos fuimos sin un rumbo fijo.
And now, with her new album, Cancionera, Natalia Lafourcade distills all of that into a kind of spiritual manifesto, a record that is both intimate and expansive. It's built on the foundation of her voice and guitar, but it opens up into something larger, layered with orchestration, ambient sound design, and a kind of quiet sorcery. At its center is a new persona, La Cancionera, a wandering spirit, part memory and part mystery, who sings for herself and for all those who carry songs inside them.
Cancionera, no dejes de sorprenderme.
With Cancionera, La Furcade performs a magic trick of revisiting her roots while reimagining them.
Tú que al tiempo versos puedes susurrar.
The songs feel ceremonial, less like performances than offerings.
Cancionera, devuélveme aquella primavera.
To bring this music to life on stage,
aquellas nuestras noches,
she's conceived something she calls Teatro de la Canción,
de noble juventud.
The theater of the song. The concept is simple, but powerful. Strip away the production, the spectacle, the distractions. What remains is voice, guitar, and presence. She's performing mostly solo and in spaces where silence is her collaborator, where stories can breathe, and where emotion has room to unfold. A couple of weeks ago, while I was on tour in Spain myself, where Natalia coincidentally had also been promoting Cancionera, I got a message from her team asking if I'd be available to speak with her the next day via Zoom. Now she was in Texas, about to embark on a tour that would take her around the world for the next 6 months. But despite the urgency, of course, I said yes, because the truth is I've been waiting for this conversation for years. And while I would have loved to have had more time together, more space to search for something with her rather than a tightly scheduled call, you'll even hear her publicist break in around the 30-minute mark to wrap things up. We ended up having a soulful and thoughtful conversation nonetheless. We spoke about the philosophy and the poetry behind Cancionera, the decision to perform the songs solo on tour, and the idea of theater of the song, where silence, space, and presence are as meaningful as the music itself. It is, as she says, an intentional reversal of the typical career arc. Instead of scaling up with every project, she's scaling in. So, this is Natalia Lafourcade at her most vulnerable and her most visionary. Third-story.com is the place for the archive. It's hundreds of deep dives like this one, including conversations with some of Natalia's compatriots like Antonio Sanchez, Gabriela Quintero, and Mexican-born Arturo O'Farrell. Also, episodes with other Spanish-language artists like Jorge Drexler, Alex Cuba, Andres Levin, Roxana Ahmed, Camila Meza, Pablo, Lau Noa, Lucy Calentari, and even Cyril M.A. a veces. Come check out my Substack. It's leosidran.substack.com. That's where I publish podcasts and other musings. And it's also basically my mailing list right now. So you can sign up for updates on new episodes and news about shows and other releases. And remember that we're made in partnership with WBGO Studios. Visit wbgo.org/studios to learn more about all their award-winning content. Here is me and Natalia Lafourcade, each of us in our own hotel room, talking it down. Hi, Natalia. It's Leo Sidran.
Hi, how are you? I'm sorry, I was having trouble with my connection.
Maybe you're in a hotel room. Sounds like hotel room problems.
Yes.
If you're going to keep your camera off, then I'll turn mine off too, and we can just listen to each other.
Yes, I think it would be better because I'm not having good connection.
Okay, so this is just so you know, this is the face that goes with the voice, and now I'm going to go away.
Thank you so much.
You know, talking about bad connections in a hotel room is a nice way for us to start, because this is the beginning of what's going to be what looks like a year-long tour, or at least the rest of the year you'll be on tour.
Yes, it's going to be a busy time in terms of traveling and playing the music in different places, which is something I love to do, and I feel very excited about every concert and every place we're visiting.
What does it feel like as you're starting out? I mean, right now it's the beginning. There's all this exciting energy. Your record just came out last month. But when you imagine what it feels like to play 40 or 50 shows in the space of a few months, how do you even think about approaching something like that?
Well, this tour is something that I really wanted to give myself when I knew that the 40s decade was coming, you know? I really wanted to have the experience of traveling with my guitar and my songs, the music that I've been working through a period of time, more than 20 years, and that I will be able to approach people in a more intimate way. This is something I was dreaming about years ago. And I was waiting, I was looking forward to this moment, you know? So now in the album, I have also like a beautiful group of people playing the music with me, the orchestra, the band, different instruments. But I still wanted to accomplish this dream, you know, for myself and make this trip and journey with my guitar and the songs and make it very, very intimate and special. I mean, in my case, always whenever I get the chance to see an artist playing just with the instrument that that person would use to make a song, to write music, it makes it very, very special. So I really wanted to experience that.
In the more traditional or typical trajectory of an artist, they start out playing in small format shows because of the economics of the business. And as they get more successful, they add more and more elements to the live show. You've gone in reverse, where as your career grows and you make larger and larger format records, your show now is reducing to just one person.
Just, I think this time to be able to create a moment when there's emptiness and when there's space, silence, and then you feel all that space and that room and that silence with the emotion that will come out from the music and the songs and people singing the music, you know, and the presence mm-hmm. of people there. I found that very, very magic, especially at this time, you know, in this era. And I love it. I mean, I was just really looking forward to experience the tour in this way. Of course, I'm going to have some shows that is going to be the band. And that's always the option, the usual way to play a concert for me and to make a tour. I've done it so many times, you know. But this time it was really special, the fact that it was going to be only me going back to the basic, you know, as if I was in my youth, you know.
Youth, yeah. I don't mean to provoke you to say anything controversial, but when you say in these times you think it's the right moment to do this and to create this kind of intimacy and connection with an audience, what are you thinking about exactly when you say that?
Yeah, when I say that, I feel like we're crossing a moment when, just as you said, like the normal way would be to have more and more and more things. But for me, it made me think really, really deep about what I wanted to have for my soul and for myself, first of all, then to think about what was the experience I wanted to give to people. Mm-hmm. And that intimacy, I think we barely get to see that these times, because now the music industry and also like the normal way would be like to make it very, very big and many, many things happening at the same time. And it doesn't mean it's good or bad. I mean, I really admire and respect that way. I actually love doing that as well. Like if I could, I would have a whole orchestra all the time behind me. Yeah. But also, I really wanted to see what happens when we do this more empty way and also like this more intimate way. And then we came out with the idea of the theater of the song, the Teatro de la Canción, which is the concept that we created. So then we don't only have the music and there's a narrative and there's a story behind what's happening on the stage, and people can build that up in their imagination, in their minds and hearts. And that's something I really, really love, you know, because then it becomes like a very complicity moment. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it in English, but it makes a lot of complicity, you know, between us.
I mean, it's not a surprising time. It's never surprising when an artist follows their heart. It's always an authentic statement. But Cancionera, the new record, the Cancionera is a kind of a persona that you've created who represents a version of yourself, a kind of character. And so rather than being Natalia, you are La Cancionera on this record. And yet with the tour that you've put together to promote the record, it sounds like what you want to do, although I haven't seen the show, but it sounds like what you want to do is reveal a very personal version of yourself. Are you La Cancionera in this show, or are you Natalia, or are they the same person?
I am all types of cancioneras. The way we're doing this, it's like having and keeping the memory of many cancioneras or cancioneros in the story and in life that have inspired me and that have build a path for all the ones that are behind, you know. So I found it that very important. I found that in this character, there was different aspects that had to do a lot with the way I am and my personality, but also there was something that wasn't exactly very specific the way I behave, you know. It was more like some of other aspects that I loved, because it made me remember many other singers, songwriters, and artists and characters in the music, you know. So I loved the idea of building this path, the path of the cancionera, el camino de la cancionera, in this theater of the song, and make this narrative, you know, that people can see different aspects that we'll see in different type of cancioneros or cancioneras, at the same time as I am giving the homage and the tribute to my own path as cancionera, you know. That's why I like to say, like, there's in this process and in this moment of the concert, you will get to think about me as a cancionera, but also you will get to remember others' cancioneras' paths and lives and stories. But I also want people to feel reflected in what I'm trying to tell, you know. This is something that I am not sure that it's gonna work. It's something that I am just putting the intention to that, and to give that narrative, hoping that people are gonna get their own story in the way they're gonna build this up in their imagination. So it becomes really special, you know. I never experienced a show like this one before. You know? I've never did something like this in the past, and that's why it becomes so attractive to me.
Is there any sense of freedom, or are there elements that you discovered that you're able to embody or do, ways you can sing or perform, things you can talk about when you're La Cancionera, or when you created this character and this universe to be inside of, that you didn't feel belonged to you before?
It does feel very, very good, you know, like to, how would you say, to embrace all the different moments that happen in the show and these characters, you know. It feels really good, because sometimes you play your own character, but when you have the chance to play around and to let other energies take your body and your action, it becomes more interesting for me at this point, you know. I'm showing a lot of myself, but I also, like, I'm making the space to get surprised. And I don't know what's going to happen and how it's going to behave, this character on the stage. Like, I'm just going there and letting the improvisation as well be part of the act.
I find you to be a very contemporary artist. And at the same time, you embrace tradition in a way that so many contemporary artists don't. Do you have any thoughts about what makes work contemporary or traditional, and to what degree you feel that you belong to one of those sides of the river or the other side?
To be honest, I try not to think too much about it. I think this is something that reflects in the music I do, because that's the music that I love to hear and I am surrounded by, you know. I have this traditional song jarocho, like, it's part of my life in Veracruz, you know. It's very, very a lot in everyday life. I hear those forms, you know, those instruments, those ways of singing, and the lyrics and the metaphors and all of that music that will give you like that feeling. It's really in my everyday life. So whenever I am creating a piece of music or an album and I am trying to conceptualize the project, I am trying not to think too much from my mind, you know. I am trying more to use the intuition and to feel it in my heart, you know, like, oh, this is working, like, this feels good, it makes me happy. It's a lot about what I want to make people feel. Again, as I was saying, like, I never know if it's going to work or not. I'm just putting an intention to it. But I try to make that intention something that comes more from my belly. You know, I always say that because I know it becomes like, as you were saying, it becomes something modern but contemporary at the same time. But it has a lot also like this folklore, which I love and it's so pretty, but it's not something that I am looking really hard to put that, you know. I'm just also the people I am choosing and to bring to the project. All that people is people that I love the way they play and the background they have. And you will hear that the background they have, it's very classical music, very, you know, like folk and traditional music, because that's the music I love. So then I invite them and they have this richness and this universals that will become part of my musical universe eventually, you know, but in a very organic and natural way. I think that happens very natural.
I know that the music and culture of Veracruz are so important to your early development and your sense of identity. And then I also read that your father was a musicologist, and I was thinking about whether or not you had a sense of a multiplicity of musical cultures and traditions when you were growing up, and a sense of positioning yourself in a larger musical context, or just an interest in different kinds of music from different places. And if maybe some of that was, you know, from having a musicologist in the house.
Yes, of course, both of my fathers are musicians, you know, and they're teaching music even now. Like my father is almost 90 years old. And he spends every day teaching music. Still, you know, that's really amazing and remarkable for me, like to see that he has still that energy and that passion to be teaching, you know. Also, my mother and the music that I had at home since I was very young, we go from very classic stuff, very, very classic music, you know, from folklore and from all different kind of musics. And then I grew up and I was curious about many other genres. And all that has become part of my influences. And I see, as I was saying, like with folk music and traditional music, it becomes, again, very natural and organic the way I will approach the classic essence in the music I am doing, you know. I constantly find myself writing a song or making something and being very, I mean, I try it to sound not as I am thinking too much of it. I want it to be easy and natural and very organic communication, because the thing that I love the most is to connect with people, you know. I want them to understand what I'm saying, and I wanted to make it very poetic but at the same time very organic and like normal conversation, you know. Yeah. But at the same time I wanted to have this deepness and timeless type of thing, and I want the arrangements to be beautiful and to be very poetic, and as if you were watching a movie, you know. I want to have these landscapes of sound and instruments and arrangements that will be around the lyrics I am singing and I am saying. I want this to give a life to the texto and the message I am trying to give. Those are the things that I am trying to approach whenever I am working on music, because it has to have all this integrity, no, como integración, como integration of all these different elements have to be part. But maybe it becomes from my childhood and the way I've watched my parents work in the music all the time, you know. All these aspects I am saying are very important for them.
Well, I think with Cancionera, you make it very clear that you are imagining it as a kind of a film, because it begins with its own score. You know, it doesn't begin immediately with your voice. It begins with a kind of an overture, a musical statement that creates a mood. And in fact, one of the other things that you've done is to make a video for every song. you clearly have a very visual and cinematic idea of the world you want to create. I love that in the videos, you say which take you used on the record. So some of the takes were take number 2. You felt like the earlier takes were good. And then some was like take 7. You're very emotive. You have to go, I can feel how deep you have to reach inside yourself to perform these things and the amount of concentration because you're singing with an orchestra. You have a lot of people who have to do the right thing in the right moment to get the good take. What does it require of you to reach inside yourself 5, 6, 7, 8 times to perform these things?
Yeah, I found it really amazing. It's one of my biggest passion to do this kind of work. Again, it has a lot of presence from myself and also all the people are involved into the work we're doing. That presence is the same presence that I was talking about the concerts. This type of presence, this type of being aware and the teamwork, I really love that. I really love doing that. Like it's probably one of the main reasons I am still doing what I'm doing. And it requires a lot of concentration and service to the music. It's when you're in a situation like that, it is not about you. Even though it's the music I'm doing and the music that I wrote and my idea became at first, there is this thing that you can't control. That's music itself coming through all of us in a room. And you need to step aside and let that magic and that music happens. It requires a lot of humbleness and presence and love and different values, you know, that appear whenever you're doing a thing like that. And fun, you know, it requires a lot the sense of como play the music, como a game, you know. It's like a dance. You need to look for that, to flow. You need to flow and just be there, you know, for it. Mm-hmm. I found that really beautiful. And whenever that happens and you find that right place, you can see that. So then the moment when you're listening, you're like, oh, the second one has something. And everyone agrees. We are in the room, like trying to pick the one, you know. But then you feel it. You feel it. You are like, oh, it's this one. So I really like doing that.
Do you think you know it in the moment or do you try not to judge it in the moment?
I try not to judge, but sometimes it's very clear when that happens, you know. It's a feeling. It's something that you finish the song and the recording and you are with everyone and there is this smile and complicity with the others. Mm. And it's like, I think it's this one, right? And everyone is like, yes. Or you are like, still, we don't have it. And it's 6 times, 7 times. And we're not getting it. And sometimes you need to wait when this happens. Like, and you need to let go a little. And just like, okay, guys, let's take a rest. Let's take some fresh air. Let's go out from this room. Let's listen. Let's listen what's happening. So it requires a lot of, you know, that's why I said it becomes an act of trust and humbleness because you become very fragile once you're in the other side of the room and you're listening and you're like, something is not in the right place. But then there's this conversation between all the team. I think I can change this. And I think I can do this better. What if you, instead of doing this, you try to go this way? And that this beautiful conversation, you know, the teamwork, we're all trying to get in the right place, you know? And I know, because I have experienced this many times, that we are going to solve the problem together, you know? Mm-hmm. So I also love this part of the process. It's not like, oh, I hate when this happens. No, no, no. It's really amazing to see how it becomes an act of love and collective, creative. No sé cómo se dice. I don't know how you say it. Como creativity or creation, you know, como collective creation. Sí.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we only have time for one more question. Sorry to interrupt. We've got a tight schedule today.
Okay. Bueno, entonces pasamos a la última. I guess because you're going to be performing in the States, I wonder if you feel that you have a role to play in the conversation around borders in the United States, if there's something that you can offer right now, even if it's not explicit, just in your presence, that can help to soften the harshness around this dialogue in this moment.
Yes, I think that it's huge problems to solve around this matter. That is really, really, as you said, like harshness, right? I think the music is the best thing that I can, how would you say, to aportar.
Mm-hmm. To offer, to bring.
To offer and to bring to this, like, and the reflection that comes in a very natural way within the music, right? I always said that music becomes that something that une, that
unites, yeah, or unifies, yeah.
People and thoughts and ideas and yeah, it makes us get together and get in a frequency of love, respect, empathy, and good values come out whenever you're close to music. So that's why I love doing that, you know. I remember when we were thinking about coming to the States and seeing all these problems that are happening right now and say, like, is this the right time to go? And it is okay to do this, because you see things that you don't like to see people suffering because there's those problems. But it's not about just like, I don't know, like all the immigrants that had to leave their houses and just in a very like aggressive way, you know, but all the things around this matter and you see from very far away and you just think like, I wish this wasn't happening this way for so many people that are suffering, you know. So I don't know, like then I just thought about like, I think I have to go and just to give what I do, because there's not really all the thing that I can do about it, even though I wish I could. But the music, you know, the music and the love that comes out from the music and the ways we remember the importance of keeping the respect to our rules and to those things that we belong to and that built us as humanity, you know? And also something that I try to remind people, the importance of keeping our tribus, como nuestras tribus, no?
Mm-hmm, tribes.
To protect that. I found that very important to bring up the connection between us and the real sense of living and life and respect for life and the empathy for other human beings around us, you know. I found that's something like very important to work on as humanity right now for us and not to forget that. So yeah, this is something that I could say. I don't really know what. Mm-hmm. More.
You said a lot. And thank you so much for sharing your heart and your humanity right now. It's really special. And I'm so excited to see you perform it live. And I wish you best of luck with the tour and the record.
Thank you so much for your time as well. It was great conversation.
It was wonderful for me too. I hope to speak to you again sometime. Okay. Gracias, Natalia. Hasta la próxima.
Hasta la próxima.
This has been a WBGO Studios production. To learn more about WBGO Studios' award-winning podcasts, special concerts, live streams, and more, visit wbgo.org/studios.